Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Gospel of St. Luke chapter 7, verse 9. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. This is the story of the centurion. Centurion is a man that has at least 100 soldiers under him, at least 100 people under him. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said unto the people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great a faith, no, not in Israel. I want to talk to you today on the subject, the greatest faith in Israel. You may be seated. I'm excited by the subject, the greatest faith in Israel. I don't attend a lot of conferences where people that are perpetual learners regurgitate what they think they know but have produced nothing. But I do go continuously to the Word of God and look for the examples that He gives me that I might become the best that I can become, that I can complete His perfection in my life. And so when Jesus said, this is the greatest man of faith in all of Israel, He has my attention, and He has it very quickly, because I consider myself a person of faith, but I'm like Freddie Price. I'm like Smith Wigglesworth. I want to have ever increasing faith. It's an unconquered frontier. There is no ceiling to faith. No matter how much you have today, you can have tomorrow, you can have more this afternoon or more tomorrow. And so I want my faith to increase. And as a pastor, as the bishop of this church, that's what I preach mostly, because it is so important that your faith increase. I can preach a lot of things that might be good or not so good, but they really don't make a difference in your life. But if I can teach you the Word of God and cause faith to be deposited in your life, it will change your life forever. Why preach faith? And I do the vast majority of my preaching both here and when I travel. Number one, it is impossible to please God without faith, the writer of Hebrews said. Number two, Paul would write again and say that faith worketh by love. The four pillars of God's kingdom I've spoke of often are love, faith, righteousness, and prosperity. God's kingdom stands on those four pillars. Faith is love activated. The Bible said that you say, have you have faith? Without works, it appears to be dead. But love without faith is also dead. You can tell somebody you love them, but if you're a husband and you don't support them and the children, that love is really not an actuality. It's simply a cliche. Faith is love activated, ever increasing. Faith is the great motivator. I'm talking about why I preach faith. It's the great motivator. If we have faith, it will cause us to do the right things. If we have faith, we will worship because we have faith that He is listening. If we have faith, we will give because we have faith that it will return to us multiplied. If we have faith, somebody said, well, I want to go to a church where they preach on sin all the time. They preach against it and they tell us what is sin. Friend, that does absolutely no good just to identify it. It's like a doctor giving you a diagnosis and not giving you a prescription or not performing surgery. To identify sin all the time will not help people, but I can promise you this. If you will preach faith to the point that people receive faith, they will sin less or not at all. Sin, we won't if we believe that He is watching. If you believe that God is watching, most of your sins are committed when you think nobody is looking. Nobody is watching. But if you have faith that God is not only an ever-present help in the time of need, but He's also an ever-present witness to everything you do, you eliminate sin out of your life. And so the way we deal with sin is not to preach about sin, but to preach about faith, that we want to please God. I heard about a Christian school cafeteria, and they let out for lunch, and there was a long line of students, and they started with a big bowl of apples, and there was a sign there. It said, just take one apple. God is watching. when they went through the line, they got to the very end, there was a big platter of cookies, and one of the kids had written a sign, and extemporaneously, and he just put it up there, said, take all the cookies you want. God is watching the apples. So when we think God is watching, it changes our behavior. I'm intrigued by Jesus announcing that this man had the greatest faith in Israel. I want to emulate that. I'm more than intrigued. I'm excited. Because here was a man that was not a rabbi. He wasn't even a preacher. He was not a scholar. He was not a prophet. He was just a man involved in this life. But yet Jesus said he had the greatest faith in all of Israel. It inspires me today to desire that I would build up my faith. That God is not a respecter of persons. He does not ask you your father's name or your mother's job when he decides to deposit in you the capacity to have great faith. Who can have faith? You can have faith. Anybody can have faith. Faith cometh by hearing of the Word of God. If you will become a student of the Word of God, if you'll listen, if you'll read it, if you'll use it like a road map, if you'll search it like a gold mine, you can become a tremendous person of faith. And if you become a person of faith, according to the Word of God, you will move mountains. I want to submit to you today, ladies and gentlemen, that there's not a problem that you're facing on tomorrow that cannot be dealt with if you've got a real working of faith in your life. Don't let the devil bring you fear and doubt. Stand up and declare, I'm a woman of faith. I'm a man of faith. I don't care what they say. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what the circumstance is. I have in me, above all, the shield of faith. I've achieved a little, praise God, but I want to achieve much. And so I see set before me a door that no man can shut. I will not be disobedient to the heavenly vision as long as I've got an eye to see, an ear to hear, and a mind to contemplate. I put all of my eggs in one basket, and Jesus Christ carries that basket. I see no alternative to Christ. I see no alternative to the gospel. I see no alternative to God's church. I believe that God's word is true. I believe that my author and finisher of my faith is a God that I can trust, and I worship him today. Above all, let me build my faith. I dissect this story about this champion of faith, this Michael Jordan of faith, this Tiger Woods of faith. Hey, Tiger's making a comeback. Tiger's making a comeback. How many people like Tiger Woods? I don't know what it is about that guy, but just the fact that he's making comeback has already added a million viewers to the television that he's on right now. He's making a comeback. I like to see people that fall get back up. That's the story of the gospel. If you fall, get back up. Hey, friends, if you fall, don't stay home from church. Move up one pew. If you make a mistake, don't quit coming. Come more often. If you have a problem, don't stop praying. Pray louder. If you feel like the devil has become your enemy, rise up and say, I'm greater than I've ever been. Tiger's making a comeback. Praise God. This man was the Muhammad Ali of faith. He was the champion of faith. What was so marvelous about this faith that it eclipsed all others? I want to look at that in just a very short few minutes. Let us see what we can learn from this man. Number one, he's a man that avoided all the pitfalls of doubt. It's not just a matter of having faith. It's a matter of walking through the minefield of doubt and escaping every pitfall and not succumbing to that which is normal. Look at somebody and say, I'm not normal. I'm abnormal because I've got the mind of Christ. I believe in the Word of God. I have been born again. I've been saved. I've been washed in the blood. I've been filled with the Spirit of God. I know more about the Word of God than 99 9/10 of people in all the world. I'm a student of the Word of God. And the Word of God brings me faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm a champion. Look at somebody else and say, I am a champion of faith in Jesus' name. Number one, Number one, his authority did not diminish his faith. You know, sometimes we start from zero and we get a good job, we get a good position, we have a little authority in our life, and if we are not very careful, it begins to diminish our faith. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you and be the first to tell you that I'm blessed. I'm blessed coming and going. I'm blessed in the morning, and I'm blessed in the evening. The Lord has been so good to me, I can't praise Him enough. I want to sing about Him. I want to shout about Him. I want to preach about Him. He's a good God all the time. He's never given me what I deserve, but God the Father has given me what Jesus Christ deserved. That's the way God the Father looks at me. He don't look at me as Steve. He looks at me as Jesus. Jesus took my place. And so praise God, what God does for me is not because of my flesh. It's in spite of my flesh. But I don't think for a moment that I've pulled myself up by my bootstraps. And any position that I have arrived at, I realize that I am a blessed person, and it does not diminish my faith. In fact, more and more, I say of a day, look what the Lord has done. And I had absolutely nothing to do with it. He gets me up every morning and starts me on my way. If He doesn't keep my brain working, I can't operate. If He doesn't keep my heart beating, I can't get out of bed. If it's not for the activity of my limbs, I can't be mobile. And so I just want to tell you that my faith is not diminished by my blessing. When you get blessed, and when God gives you some authority, when you're living in a better house, when you're driving a better car, when you're getting a better paycheck, it ain't no time to give up your faith. It's time to exercise your faith and say, look where the Lord has brought me. Look what the Lord has done. There's no way I could have got here by myself. I'm like the turtle on the fence post. I just couldn't got here by myself. God has blessed me. And so all I can tell you is that my faith is good. My faith is great. My faith is big. My faith is giant. But my faith is increasing every day because I know the Lord. He's on my side. And if He has done it, He'll do it again. And if He'll do it again, He'll do bigger than He did before. Can somebody give the Lord a big shout of praise? This champion of faith that Jesus marveled at did not establish his faith on his own worthiness. He did not believe his own publicity. They said he was worthy, but he knew he wasn't. The Bible said that they said, those men that went to Jesus in his behalf, said, this man is worthy. He's worthy of you healing his servant. But this man knew that the miracle of God was not going to become his worthiness. You see, I was raised in great legalism. It has its virtue that we should be as good as we can be. But the problem with legalism is, after a while, you think you saved yourself. After a while, you think you're keeping yourself saved. And the problem is, you can't live up to that. You know, I went to the doctor. I was having a little problem with my sugar a couple of years ago. And I went to the doctor, and I thought I was going to say what the doctor wanted to hear. I said, Doc, he said, you really don't have diabetes, but he said, you're close, you're borderline. I said, well, Doc, I really don't need any medicine. I said, through diet and exercise, I can control my sugar level. He said, tell me what you eat. I told him. He said, tell me how you exercise. I told him how hard I worked at the ranch. He said, you don't want to live like that. He said, just take this medicine and live like you want to. What a doctor. What a doctor. When you find a doctor that won't make you give up Twinkies, keep him. Oh, I just love my doctor. I go, he don't ever talk about me being too fat. He don't ever talk about me changing my diet. He don't ever say you're not getting enough exercise. Oh, he is going to be my favorite guy at my funeral. But the problem with legalism is you just can't stay good enough. And you got to base God's blessing on you according to your performance. With that logic, the bigger your tithe check, the greater the blessing. The more hours of prayer, the greater your blessing. Here was a man that avoided that pitfall of religion because he said, they say I'm worthy. You need to heal my servant. But he said, I'm not worthy at all. But I've heard about you. I've heard about you. I've heard that you are worthy. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, in my flesh, I ain't much. But praise God, when I get in Christ, I am something. Wretched man that I am, I can't do anything. But through Christ, I can do all things. There's not a one of you that ought to be limited by your faults, your failures, and your shortcomings. If you're a true born-again believer, you ought to get up every morning like this centurion and say, the Lord is going to heal my servant today. That's just a metaphor for whatever you need. Whatever you need, you ought to get up every morning and say, not because I'm perfect in the flesh, and not because I tithe Sunday in a living way, and not because I've gone to church 7 straight Sundays, but simply because I have heard about Jesus, and I believe everything they said about him. You have to understand the man I'm talking about, the man that Jesus Christ said had the greatest faith in Israel, never met him face to face. Read the story. He had never laid eyes on Jesus. He had just heard about him and he believed it. Faith cometh by hearing. What do you believe about Jesus? I believe what I've read. I believe what I've heard. I believe he's the Alpha and the Omega. I believe he's the beginning and the end. I believe he will withhold no good thing from me. I believe he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I believe he has all power. I believe he's a savior. I believe he's a sin forgiver. I believe he's a baptizer. I believe he's a way maker. I believe he's the mighty God. I believe he is my salvation. I believe he's my joy in the morning. I believe he's my eternity with the God the Father. Father, I believe in him. I believe he has all power. I believe he can heal the sick. I believe he can raise the dead. I believe he can make the lame to walk and the dumb to speak. I believe he can make the deaf to hear. I don't believe there's a sin that his blood will not blot out. I believe everything the Bible says about Jesus and more. Can you give Christ some praise in this house today? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. He did not establish his faith on his own worthiness. He did not believe his own publicity. They said he's worthy, but he said, no, I'm not, but Jesus is worthy. Number 4, his wealth did not affect his faith. You know, Jesus pointed out that it's difficult for a wealthy man to trust God. He said it's more difficult for a wealthy man than it is a poor man. The more alternatives you have, the harder it is. You know, if you're a homely old boy and you only got one girl that'll marry you, it's not tough to make a decision. But if you're rich and handsome and they're standing in line, it's a little tough to make your decision, I would think. And rich people have so many alternatives. They don't really have to trust the Lord for the healing. You know, there's a lot of poor people that die just because they don't have good medical care. I was amazed that Dick Cheney used to be our former vice president. They said that guy was going to die 20 years ago. Dick Cheney made $58 million the year before he became vice president. And when his heart was not good, I don't know what they did. But Dick's still alive 20 years later. You've got enough money, you can stay alive a long time. You've got a lot of alternatives. This man had some alternatives. Say, how rich was he? He built the church and paid for it. They didn't have a program. They didn't pay it out by the month. Read the story. The Bible said he's worthy. They said, the men, his servants said, and the religious people said he's worthy because he built us a synagogue. You think this guy wasn't rich? But it didn't affect his faith. There is a way to be wealthy and still have faith. Don't lean on your wealth. Don't lean on your own understanding. My greatest wealth is not what I've got in the bank or what I own. My riches are in heaven, because my wealth on this earth is temporary. It's going to be gone just like that. When Dr. Billy Graham died a few days ago, he was a rich man in lots of ways. But when they put him in that coffin, it was a coffin that was made from the inmates of the prison, because he understood that our faith is not in the wealth of this world. Our faith is in the riches of Almighty God. That's the reason why Christ marveled at this man. He was very, very wealthy, but he had no confidence in the wealth of the world. His confidence was in Jesus Christ. Friend, I believe in the riches of Jesus. His riches are beyond my understanding. He's rich in love. He's rich in forgiveness. He's rich in spirit. He's rich in power. He's rich in time. And thank God the Bible said, I am his joint heir. Somebody said, what would you do to make your life better? I said, make it longer. My life is very, very good. But it's running out day by day by day. I look at youth and I envy them, because they're young and barring accident, they've got so many years ahead of them. But praise God, then I think of my true riches. It's not in my doctor that lets me eat what I want. It's in the great physician that says, I hold all time in my hand. And Jesus didn't make me just a servant. The Bible said he's not ashamed to call me his brother. Jesus is my elder brother. Did you know the Bible said I'm joint heirs with Jesus Christ? That means if Jesus has got all the time, I've got all the time. I'm not running out of time. I'm just changing locations. In my Father's house are many mansions, praise God. I'm going to live forever. And so I want to be like the centurion and put no confidence in the wealth of this world, but my faith is in Jesus Christ and his wealth. He understood his position would not be the catalyst for the miracle. Then Jesus went with him, and he was not far from the house. The centurion said his friends to him. Jesus had been told that he needs a miracle. He's headed to the centurion's house. The centurion sends men to him again and said, there's no need for you to come to my house. He realized it was not his position, but it was all in Jesus Christ. If you want to become a person of faith that's just off the charts, that sees miracles happen, you've got to get your confidence off yourself and your position and your flesh and your obedience and your track record. Don't ever pray and say, Lord, you know I've been going to church for 30 years. When you pray, remember a place called Golgotha. Remember an empty tomb. Remember his love for you. Think about him. That's the way you manifest your faith. And Jesus Christ was stopped on the way to the centurion's house. There's not one verse in this entire story that says he ever got to the man's house. He was stopped. He had so great faith that he said, Jesus, you don't even have to show up. How many of us say, well, if I could see an angel, or if I could see a sign, or if I could see that. This man had such great faith. He said, I don't need any of that. He said, just send your word. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to become a person of phenomenal faith, don't put your faith in expression. Don't put your faith in manifestation. Don't put your faith in what you see. Put your faith in the Word of God. He said, just send your word and my centurion servant will be healed. And when they told Jesus, said he don't even need to come to your house. He don't even need you to come to his house. He just wants you to speak the word. Jesus marveled. He said, I ain't ever met nobody like that. He said, these little disciples that walk with me, they want me to touch them. They want me to look in their eyes. They want me to put my arm around them. But he said, here is a man that knows the world was framed by the word of God. All he wants me to do is just say the word. Friend, I want to tell you that no matter what you're facing in your life, The word has already been spoken, and his word will not return void. If you want a miracle in your life, plant your feet on the word of God and say, here I stand. I will not be moved. God said, I'm saved. God said, my household is saved. God said, I am healed. God said, I will prosper. God said, he'll make a way where there is no way. If I hear the right song, if I get goosebumps on my back, no, it doesn't matter. If you want the kind of faith that Jesus marvels at, you'll just say, speak the word only, and I'm going to act on it. And Jesus turned and went away. And those men that the centurion had sent, they showed up at the house and said, how is he? And the Bible said they saw him and he was healed that day. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you that there is a God that has not changed, and his word is as powerful as when he walked the earth in a fleshly body. His word became flesh, but now his flesh is the word of God. So stand on the word of God. Make your claim. Don't back up. Look the devil in the eye and say what Jesus said in the face of adversity. It is written. It doesn't matter how I feel. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter the circumstance. It is written. I am an overcomer. I'm healed all the day long. I am ahead and not beneath. Hallelujah. God is on my side. Will you stand on your feet and give God the praise right now in the house of God? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, there is somebody in this audience that needs a miracle. And if you can just attach yourself to God's word, you can see that miracle manifest today, tomorrow, this week. It's all in what you think about Jesus. You know, some people are offended by people like me. I'm talking about Christian people. They're offended by my commission. The fact that I'm too noisy, too loud, too unwavering, not inclusive enough. I was dealing with a Christian lady in some business this week. She's a friend of mine. And I happened to mention the name of one of the larger churches here in town. Large Protestant church that I'm not a big fan of. I think they're sweet people. But I call them Christian Light. Just not enough. Just don't preach enough gospel that the crowd's big. And I was shocked when I saw the expression. I know she's got a lot of friends that go there, and she's been there. I saw the expression on her face. I saw she didn't like that church. I said, and what's wrong with that church? She said, I went by the other day. Now, this woman is a Christian. And she said, on their electronic sign, it said, Jesus is Lord. She said, I'm offended by that. She said, God is Lord, not Jesus. And it was just an awakening to me that there are so many Christians today, nominal Christians, that have not yet understood who Jesus Christ is. Jesus is Lord. The reason why they like to say God is Lord, that includes everybody. But when you say Jesus is Lord, that redefines everything. He died for us. He bled for us. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I want to have exceptional faith. It's not to accumulate more wealth or build more buildings or do anything else. But the greatest thrill of my life would be for Jesus to commend me for my faith, because it was a constant nagging observation of his to his disciples, O ye of little faith. I want to do bigger. I want to do better. I want to just believe God to a point that's just stupid to the world, that's offensive to the church world. I just believe that God is able. I just believe that God is able. when the doctors give us a cancer report in this church and we're all one big family, I just want to be able to say, praise God, that lady is going to be healed. That man is going to be healed. They're already healed, and they're going to see the manifestation. When somebody calls me and says, Pastor, I just got laid off from my job. They're doing away with my position. That I can just say, praise God. That's a big promotion. God's going to put them in a better place. I want that faith that is marvelous. I want that faith that just believes that God can make something out of nothing, a way where there is no way. There's no such thing as a bad report. God can turn around in Jesus' name. If you're in this building right now and you have any need in your life, it might be salvation. You maybe never accepted the Lord Jesus. Maybe you need the gift of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you need healing in your body. Maybe you need your marriage to be healed. Maybe you need a job. Maybe you've got a financial crisis. Maybe you are under the threat of being evicted out of your home or losing your automobile. I don't live in that area anymore, but I know what it is. I've been there. But I hadn't been to that neighborhood in a long time. God moved me up from there, praise God. And He wants to do the same thing for you. If you have any need at all, I'm going to ask you that you just say in faith, I believe that Jesus can solve this problem. And I'm walking down to this altar right now and lifting my hands as a testimony of my faith that the Lord is going to turn this circumstance. And I trust in Him. And the good news is, you don't have to ask me, Pastor, have I been delinquent on my tithing? You don't have to say, Pastor, do you approve of my church attendance? Because I'm not the miracle worker. Just trust not in your worthiness, but trust in the Lord. Jesus Christ is the perfect substitute and the perfect sacrifice. And if you could put your affection and your worship and your faith in Him, your life is going to change on a Sunday morning in March in the name of Jesus. Pastor Becky is singing right now.